It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. He's on the earth goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King.
Mary in the stable. You may ask, why was Mary chosen? But Mary found favor with God. I did a little research. Do you realize that in that day and age, women were betrothed probably at the age of 13 and married shortly thereafter. So Mary was probably in her mid-teens at the oldest when this became her calling. Imagine that you're a teenage girl, you've never been intimate with a man, and suddenly you're with child. An instance that could have brought great shame, and you know, in the average situation would have. But she was comforted by an angel who told her, this is God's will. Now, Joseph's part in this is not insignificant, but we're concentrating on Mary. I mean, when you think about that, when you think that Joseph, before he had consummated his marriage, found out that his wife was with child, many men would have said, oh, whoa, back away here. But Joseph was a man of faith and a good man. And the angels told him, this is God's will. And he accepted that. He found peace with that. Then we move to the traveling to Bethlehem. The accommodations, I'm sure that, you know, if you're, many of you have been pregnant, imagine those last few weeks of the pregnancy, having to walk or ride on a donkey to get to where you're going. You would not be a happy camper in most instances, but Mary said, this is God's will, and so be it. Then you get to your destination, and Joseph hasn't called Zhivago or Hotel.com, and you have no accommodations. And the accommodations that you do receive are in a manger with the animals. And Mary says, this is God's will, and I accept it, and I believe, and I will be obedient. Then God says, let this light shine in the sky. And the shepherds saw the light, and they came to see where this babe was born. And his mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger. And it was all good because Mary had faith, she believed, and she obeyed. We all need to have a modicum of the faith that Mary and Joseph had. This is a blessing for each and every one of us, and it's a blessing that continues from generation to generation until our Savior comes again. I know there's a reading that I'm supposed to. So. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy in his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. As we are gathered here this morning, I want to be the first in this congregation this morning, probably on this morning only, on behalf of my flock who's in the audience, to wish you a Merry Christmas, and as we move into the new year, peace and good tidings of great joy. Bless you all.
I invite you to shift your eyes to Joseph standing by Mary's side. We sing better standing, so won't you stand as we continue in song.
Come, oh, come, Emmanuel, come, bring your praise to
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So how does God's love show through all of us through this story of Joseph? We don't know much about the man. We have the story of him now, the birth of Jesus. We have a quick note of him 12 years later, searching for the lost son. But there towards the end of life, 30 plus years later, we don't hear of him there. There's something happened. He's no longer in the story. So what do we get much out of this few verses of Joseph? If you will, in today's term, the stepfather of Jesus Christ. So Joseph, what is his biggest contribution to the story of Jesus? I would say it's, where does he lie? Where does he put his trust? Does he put trust in Mary? Does he put trust in God? Does he put trust in his friends and his family and those, his co-workers? All those folks running around telling him that this is a bad plan, and that Mary is probably lying. Or does he listen to that small fear, small voice of fear, that's got to be constantly nagging at him on the back? Perhaps while he's thinking about all these things, and it's got to be a terrible night, his entire plans, his plans for life has changed. One way or the other, it's going to change. And he has to make a choice. Perhaps during this time, he's thinking about Old Testament scriptures, about what can I draw from? What is the point of this? He's heard of the Messiah. He's thought of it. He's thought of the promises of God. And maybe this is what he's brought up. In Joshua, another time of trust, another time of absolution, what God has told me to do, but I don't know how that's going to happen. Joshua 23:14. "Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that no one of all the good promises the Lord your God have gave you have failed. Every promise has been fulfilled." He wakes up and knows that this is the path forward. "I will put my trust in God, and I will take Mary and father this child." Now, granted, it probably was a pretty easy job. But he trusted God to fulfill the promise. And that's all he had to stand on. So how does the story of Joseph show God's love for all of us? God promises, man obeys, God fulfills, and then God saves.
What child is this
who makes you jest on every side this evening? Who angels just grieve with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, who shepherds are.
I invite you to see the image of a manger as a throne.
First, I'll be reading from John 1. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. 2 Luke verses 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." To recap real quickly, we have a very young Mary who found through an angel that she was going to be with child. A very scared and anxious Joseph who was about to marry this woman to find she is with child. Now they have traveled all the way to Bethlehem with her very much pregnant. The travel alone is not like you just have to get on 288 and run up to Houston. This is a lot worse. They arrive at Bethlehem to find there's no rooms. This time of year, it's kind of like this one. Nobody wants to stay with their in-laws, so they all got rooms. So they're desperate. They finally find the place, and the only place that they have is a manger. You know, the manger scene that we all think of is this great, quaint little thing with the little basset and baby Jesus in it, and it's all pretty with Joseph and Mary and the three wise men around it, and there's a couple of farm animals sitting there. Jesus' birth was as messy as it could be. It is in a manger, which is, in all intents and purposes, a stable. A very dirty stable. The cows, the sheep, everything around there is doing its thing as our Savior is being born. But this is Jesus' life. Jesus never escapes the dirtiness of our world. He was born into it, and He lived it, and He cherished it, and He died within it. You know, I think of when my kids were born. I'm this anxious wreck waiting for them to be born. I know my wife was the same way. Mary had to be thinking the same things, except she knew that she was giving birth to our Savior. So think of all of us that have kids and how excited and anxious and afraid we were. But now think of a very young Mary giving birth to a baby she knew was for all of us. And then the only other thing I think of is God's gift of love is just an unimaginable thing. He gave us His only Son to live, to die, and to be resurrected. And that's a very powerful thing for all of us to love. That Mary's love was outweighed by God's love.
I invite you to hear that heaven chose to come down. While we sing the first couple of verses of this song, if kids of all ages would gather down here at the front, would like to visit with them just for a minute. And parents, if you're concerned that your children might decide to run away, you can come with them so you can keep them held up.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. A little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
I just realized something. You know what? If I stay here long enough, there are going to be children who came for the first kid talk when I was here that have send their children up here someday. That'd be a little crazy. Well, I don't know about you, but I think Christmas is wonderful. Do any of you think Christmas is wonderful? We think it's wonderful for lots and lots of reasons. But you know what? I bet that you don't think Christmas is wonderful because of all the really strange names that we say. Have you ever thought about all the strange names that we say at Christmas? How many of you have ever said the word Emmanuel? Say Emmanuel with me.
Emmanuel.
Very good. Let's go. Let's try. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Very good. Moms and dads, y'all give it a try. Emmanuel. Very good. All right. And then we have that one. And we kind of make it simple by saying Messiah, but it goes like this. It goes, Mashiach. Can you say Mashiach? Mashiach. Very good. Moms and dads, you give it a try.
Mashiach.
Okay, and then there's that really hard one, okay? He didn't come down. Where is Josh? Josh, get down here. I wanted to... There he is. Come on. Come on. If I'm not too big to be here, you're not too big to be here. Okay. Everybody say hi to Josh. That's not actually his name. That's just the way we say it. Because long time before in English we said Josh, there was this name, Yeshua. Kind of sounds like you're sneezing, doesn't it? Yeshua. Can y'all say that? Can you say Yeshua?
Yeshua.
Yeshua. Can moms and dads, can you say Yeshua?
Yeshua.
Okay. Well, if you don't know, Josh's name is Yeshua Adam. Joshua Adam. And his name, every time you say it, and I always love saying it, because it reminds us, Yeshua, God saves, Adam, man, and woman, and child. Now those long names could get kind of hard, couldn't they? You know, if we had to walk around. How many of you want to be named, let's see, what would we call you? Mashiach, 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 come into the house. Does that work? Or how about Emmanuel, Emmanuel, you left your lunch. We gotta come back to get your lunch. Doesn't work very well either, does it? Or Yeshua, you better get that straight or you're going to get it. None of that works, does it? Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad that it can be really simple? Because the greatest gift, the most wonderful thing about Christmas time, the name is Jesus, isn't it? Now, Jesus was called Emmanuel, and Jesus was called Mashiach, or Messiah, the chosen one. And, you know what? When they said Jesus' name the first time, it was Yeshua. He will come and save his people. But we get to call him Jesus. And you know what? When I say Jesus, you know what almost always happens to my face? It smiles. Try it. You just try it yourself. Try to say Jesus and frown. It doesn't work, does it? Mom and Dad, you give it a try. You see, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Because when we think of Jesus, we think about God's love for us, don't we? That He loves not just me and not just you, but He loves everybody. Doesn't He, Colton? Does He love everybody? Kaysen, like I said. Does He love everybody?
Yes.
He does. If y'all couldn't hear, He said yes. He loves us all. So, you know what? Jesus is love that came to us in a manger, but went all the way to a cross, is a great gift for us. Now, here's what we get to do as His people. We get to remind each other that God loves all of us. So, I have an assignment for you today, okay? Are you ready? Okay, I want you to head back to where your mom and dad are, and I want, well, not yet. But when you get there, I want you to say, God loves all of us, okay? But then there's one more assignment that I want you to do, and this is kind of hard. Are you ready? Because it's easy to tell mom and dad or grandparents or aunts and uncles, maybe not brothers or sisters, I don't know, that might be hard. But it's easy to tell them God loves us all. Before you leave today, I want you to find somebody that you don't know. Maybe you find them on your way back to your seat. And I want you to go up to them and I want you to say, you know what? Jesus tells us that God loves us all. Can you try that for me? Say it to me. Let's practice once. Jesus tells us that God loves us all. Now you try it by yourself. God loves us all. Very good. All right. Can we have a big hand? Aren't we blessed by these children? We're going to sing while you go back to your seats and you can tell people all about God's love. Thank you, Kaysen. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Christ, I am forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fill us for heaven to live with thee there. Whether it's a manger, whether it's a manger, whether it's a cross, or whether we come to this table, God wants to tell us that heaven didn't wait for us to come see it. Heaven came to us. Amen? Amen. Let's welcome Him as we sing this song. Again, you sing so well when you stand, so let's stand for this song.